get started. Once again, I want to thank all of our kids and our adults who gathered for our Zoom Sunday School. Caroline, who continues to do a wonderful job putting it together as we watch videos and have a great discussion. I'm especially enjoying all this time that I'm having with the youth in our church. Our next youth Zoom Sunday School, or I shouldn't say youth, our next family Zoom Sunday School is scheduled at 8:30. And remember, you can join us anytime you like. Our sessions are not successive. So any Sunday you want to pop in and join us, you are welcome to do so. But the whole family is invited. Also, you have until November 11th to order a red or white plant in honor of your loved one. Linda Karcher is your contact person for that. I'll make sure I put her phone number on our next email. And they are $11, and order should be sent to Linda by November 11th. So we look forward to honoring, especially as we think of All Saints Day, honoring our loved ones who have gone before us. And then also tonight at 6 p.m., there will be a citywide ecumenical outdoor gathering called Breakthrough 2, Release the Light, where we will be praying for our city in the battle against human trafficking, suicide, and addiction. It will begin in the parking lot of New Philadelphia Nazarene with worship and prayer. They've actually invited me to speak on behalf of the history of our city and kind of why was New Philadelphia, the Schönbrunn settlement, started in the first place. And I was touched that they wanted to include the Moravian history as part of that. And there'll be worship and prayer, and they'll walk together to the county courthouse where participants will receive a light, which they will carry through downtown New Philly and is a symbolic significance that we are trying to light up our world against some of the darkness that we face. Also, CEC will be meeting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in the Sunday School room. And then also, I want to offer, I will be home on Tuesday for Election Day, but if you want to call me at any time for prayer on that day before you cast your ballot, after you cast your ballot, if you'd like to pop by for communion or something during that day, I am available, because I know for a lot of people this can be a very contentious day. So a little peace and a little prayer can be very helpful. But I want you to know that I am available for whatever spiritual needs you have on that day. That's all I have for announcements. Let us stand and greet each other with the right way of fellowship. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Psalm 43, verse 3. Send me your light and faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Amen. We will have a special recording. We were nice enough to have Missy, Chloe, and Paige do a couple recordings of some of our favorite hymns for All Saints Day, and I think we're truly blessed to have those today. If that doesn't work, we'll have a lip reading challenge for everyone in the congregation and see how well you do.
Where my tech guy goes.
That's okay. That's okay. Let's see. Yeah.
pray for time.
No worries. Actually, while we're doing that, why don't we'll go to scripture? If that's okay, Gina, and you want to go ahead, we'll share some scripture. We won't have it on the screen behind you, but Gina does a great job projecting, and you're welcome to follow along with your Bible on your phone if you'd like.
The first scripture comes from the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. And then our gospel lesson comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted."
Any luck back there?
Let's try it.
All right.
favorite hymns to hear, so I'm so glad that we were able to share that with you today. For our reflective liturgy, I've actually got my mask on because I'm going to come down for this so I can see all your responses to our reflective liturgy. But we're going to do something very similar to what we did in our Sunday school class today. And I want to take some opportunity to reflect on saints as we remember All Saints Day, and today is also Reformation Day. So I got a couple questions for you. The first one I'm going to ask, like, who are some of the more famous saints that you have connected to in your life? The Martin Luther Kings, the Mother Teresa's, who have helped you on your faith journey. And then the next question, we're going to look at some of the personal saints in your life. The people, the grandmothers, the grandfathers, the mentors in your life who really taught you what it meant to be a disciple of Christ. Because on All Saints Day, there is a connection. There are the big saints who point us to Jesus, but there's also the personal people who show us what unconditional love looks like in a very touching and a very compassionate way. So for your first question, just take a minute to think about who are some of the more famous, or I guess the rock stars of the church, if you will, or non-rock stars, depending on your theological point. People who you look up, who played a big role in the church, in the wider Christian church. Who are the people that are mentors to you? Who are the people, when you read what they have to say, really touch you? So just take a minute and think about who those people are for you. And if you can't think of one, I'll give you a hint. One starts with a J and it's 5 letters long, so.
Take another 30 seconds and think about if there's anybody else you want to add. Responses. Who are some of the bigger saints that you really like? C.S. Lewis, Mother Teresa, Peter, Jesus, Mother Teresa, John Huss, Moravian, Jesus, Billy Graham, absolutely. I remember your dad showing me a lot of videos of Billy Graham and just the number of people he reached with the gospel. Use my good glasses there. Ted Canfield, Dorothy Sickinger, Winnie Drum, Joe Northrup. Yeah, those are some of the personal saints we have too. And on my list too, I have Martin Luther King Jr., John Huss, Zinzendorf, Martin Luther. Zinzendorf's always been a big one. Somebody who grew up Lutheran and made a big, strong connection with the Moravian Church. Guess what? I grew up Lutheran, made a strong connection with the Moravian Church. So his path reminds me so much about what I can do on my own personal journey. But a lot of you shared, a lot of people weren't just good theologians, but good people. People who cared about living out the gospel. So your next question is, I kind of want you to put a divider between yours, like I did for mine, is I want you to list who are the personal saints for you. They could be people who have passed on. It could be people who are still alive who are teaching you to be saints. And then underneath that, I'd like you to put some of the characteristics that they had. What were the character traits for you that made them saints? So personal saints up top, characteristics underneath. You have anybody you want to add?
I do.
What's that?
I said it's okay.
Okay.
Jean Ann doesn't know what
Jean Ann, do you have anybody you want to add? Okay. was going to say, feel free to grab one of them from up front. Take another 15 seconds. All right, let's see. Who are some of your personal saints? Eleanor, your grandmother, Helen Hoffman, loving, caring, and faithful. Slagle, Ann Arlene, Winnie Drum, Emma May, Winnie Drum, Ted Canfield. Carl, he's from Pride Valley, right?
Yeah.
Carl Benson. Mom and Dad, Charles and Rachel Krauss, Dorothy Sickinger, I've seen that name a lot. Earl and Anna Eats, Fred and Nana, is it Nan Swaldo? Okay. And Kay Ebra, yeah, Nana Swaldo. Oh, you got me on. You get bonus points right there. I'm just kidding. Nana Renner, we remember her. She passed away 5 years ago. Margaret and Dean Renner, absolutely. So many parents. Grandpa Toiber. Dad, Grandma Peggy, TJ, Emily, Ben, Jess, Peggy, and Austin. Yeah, absolutely. And on my list, I think of, especially on a day today, a day like today, I think of the five people since I've been here who have officiated their funeral as members of this church. Ted and Kathy Canfield, Vicki Eichel, Joey Northrup, Linda Bonnell. And one of the difficult things about having the privilege, or I should say one of the special things about having the privilege to be a pastor in a certain place in a certain time, is that I'm fortunate that those are people that if I said any one of their names, you would have a story, wouldn't you? You would know something about them. And so I feel special because at the moment in time I was your pastor, I have stories with these people that whoever serves your church down the road will not have those stories with. And so that's very special for me. But when I think of those people, I think of compassionate people, dedicated people, always happy to help. And I think on your list, I saw similar traits. So when you think about how you can be a saint for somebody else, don't worry about trying to be Mother Teresa. Don't worry about trying to be Martin Luther King. Be somebody who can carry those traits, who can be compassionate, who can really embody what it's like to love and care for Christ. Because All Saints Day is an emotional day for so many of us, because we get to remember all the impact and all the love that so many people have had on our lives. So look for those tangible ways that you can show the love of God for other people, because that's what All Saints Day is all about. Jesus teaches us a path of righteousness and a path of love, and we have the opportunity to follow in that path, to light the pathway for all the people who follow behind us. And we can give thanks for that. That is our prayer today. Amen. So we will now continue into a time of prayer. And I do have some personal prayer concerns that I will not put on the video board, but I'll make sure we have them in our prayer chain this week. First and foremost, as we are celebrating All Saints Day, just continued prayer for the saints of our church and the saints of our families. Those of you that have lost a loved one this year, whether it be a family friend, a family member, or just somebody you knew very well,
We specifically remember them on this day. Because we were not able to gather on Easter Sunday, I want to read the list of some of the saints that we've gained, or heaven has gained, this past year from our congregation. And those saints are Linda Bonnell, Joe Northrup, and Jim Eichel. And we give thanks that they chose to be a part of our church family and made it their home. And also, I think it's important on this day that we remember in this battle against COVID-19, all the people who have passed since COVID-19 has hit. And today we remember 1.2 million people worldwide who have passed away from COVID-19. 230,000 people in the United States of America, and over 5,000 people in the state of Ohio. And we continue to pray for the safety of our country, the safety of our world, and for a cure from this difficult, difficult illness. Also, I want to share a few prayers of joy as well this week. Also want to share a pastoral transition. Pastor Tracy Pryor, our former pastor, has accepted the call to serve Redeemer in Columbus, Ohio. So she will be coming much back closer to us. So we celebrate and rejoice for her, and also pray for prayers of transition for her church in Staten Island that she will be leaving. But we look forward to having her back in the area. And then two other wonderful prayers of joy. Aubrey Swaldo was awarded the President's Award this past week at Claymont Elementary, so we wanted to recognize her. Let's give her a round of applause. And this might be the only time I say this in my long tenure in Ohio, but somebody in Ohio won the Super Bowl yesterday. Carter Korn's team won his UTV game, and we're very celebrated. I can actually say, as Paula said before, for the first time in my life, go Steelers. Congratulations, Carter, and to his team as well for their victory. And I think it really is important that we celebrate those wonderful joys in our lives. So let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer.
Does anybody have any prayers on their whiteboard they would like to share at this time?
All right, let us take some time in silence and invite God into this time of prayer once again. Gracious God, we come before you today on All Saints Day, Fall Forward Day, and we just want to say thank you for your presence in our lives and our world. Thank you for the extra hour of rest that we've been granted today. And remind us that every minute we have on this earth is important and can be used to serve you. So when we are granted this extra hour, help us to use it to connect to you, to connect to others, and connect to this world. Gracious God, we especially pray this Sunday for our country as we get ready for elections. We pray for our national elections. We pray for our candidates who have put themselves in the public eye. We pray for our local elections. May we always elect leaders who have the best interest of the people at heart. And if our candidate wins, may we be humble in victory and focus our attention on a pathway forward. And if our candidates lose, may we seek to voice our opinions respectfully and peacefully for all whom we have elected. We know that anyone can serve you. So help us to remember that, especially in a tense and anxious time as we are in now. And as we remember the saints of our church, help us to remember those personal saints, those people who take the time to connect and care and love us. And we are lucky to have them. And right now, we just want to say thank you. And it reminds us that someday we will be reconnected with them, because all of us will get to share in the kingdom and the power and the glory. And that is the love that you provide for us, Jesus. So as we come before you today, help us to humble our hearts and open our compassionate arms, because everywhere we go, Christ can be found. And may our lives and our words and our actions be a living testimony to the truth that you have provided within us. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We now turn our attention to our offering. Once again, no offering plate going around, but we just want to continue to thank everybody who continues to give so faithfully and so generously, and continue to look for opportunities to give to support your local community at this time, thinking of ministries especially like Share at Christmas and other ministries that help those who are less fortunate and could really use support around as we approach the Christmas season. And so let us take some time to think of the tithes, offerings, and gifts that God has blessed us with.
Let us pray. Gracious God, when we feel unmotivated to give, help us to remember your saints, for they took the words of Christ to heart and gave abundantly with very few possessions to their name. May we follow in their footsteps. Amen.
We now turn our attention to our children's lesson. So I'm going to come down for that. I'm going to invite our kids to pull out their whiteboard, and they can also show me their item that they brought this week. This Sunday is a youth Sunday. And our kids were nice enough to remind me of that in Sunday school this morning, or otherwise Pastor Ben would have forgotten that. So if you have your item, you can bring it out. Let me see what you got. Nick, what do you got?
I got a
Nick's got a football page. What do you got? Ooh, that is like a Halloween kitty right there. All sparkly. It's nice and glowy. Rylan's got a nice little toy back there. Aubrey's got like a little pink glow fishbowl thing right there. Ooh, Brandon's got a spinner. Tyler's got a football helmet. So what I want you to do today is we're going to have an election today. We're going to vote for something. So what I want you to do, your parents are going to be hopefully casting their ballot if they haven't already on Tuesday. So what I want you to vote for today is I want you to do like we did before for the liturgy that we did together. I want you to put a line across your board, and on the top half, I want you to vote for who brought the coolest toy to church today. And you can vote for yourself as well. Who brought the coolest toy to church today? Take your time, think hard about who you're casting your ballot for, who you're putting your electoral votes behind. All right, on the count of three, let me see what you got. Who brought the coolest toy today? One, two, three. Nick's got me, Paige Martin right there, Tyler Castor. Oh, Aubrey voted for Tyler. Rylan's got Paige as well. All right. Very good. So who got multiple votes? Paige did, right? And I think, oh, Tyler, you got Tyler there? Tyler got two. All right. Oh, Tyler got three. Oh, swing state right there at the end there. So, I'm going to give you one last chance. I didn't vote because I'm in charge of the election. I got to stay
neutral.
There we go. Struggling for words today. What I want you to do on the second half, on the bottom half of your ballot, I want you have an opportunity to convince the other voters, the other kids in the room, give them one good reason why they should vote for the person you voted for. Give them one good reason. You can ask your parents for help. What's a good reason for voting for the person you voted for? Take another 5 seconds. All right. It's okay, Brandon. We'll get to you. All right, let's see what you got. Nick said, you cannot vote for me because football, you cannot not vote for me because football is fun. Football is fun. We love football. Paige says, the sequins change colors. Ooh, there's a game changer. I didn't know that. Rylan says, cats are awesome and cute. Yep, there's a cat owner right there. Aubrey voted for Tyler. He said football is great. Tyler said it's cool and the Browns are good this year. How often do we get to say that, people? One good thing in 2020. It has good details. Good one, Brandon. So would anybody like to change their vote? Was the persuasion that they gave you good enough for you to change your vote? Raise your hand if you're going to change your vote. No, nobody's changing their vote, even after you've had all this persuasive detail. All right, that happens. Guess what? What I want you to learn from our election today is that it is a lesson sometimes adults need to learn too, is sometimes we try as hard as we can to persuade people that the football is the best thing to vote for. The sequins cat is the best thing to vote for. Could be a surprising third-party candidate right there. And the other football helmet, the stuff that Aubrey and Rylan has, and guess what? Sometimes we don't convince those people that even with good reasoning and rationale to vote for the same things that we voted for. But our challenge as Christians is to make sure that we stay friends with everybody who thinks and votes differently than us. So and I want you to remember that, because it's easy to forget as you get older. And that's going to have a big connection to our sermon today. But I want you to remember that no matter who somebody votes for, whether they like football or Cleveland Browns helmet or a sequin cat, that they're all created in the image of God. And God loves each and every one of you. And our job is to carry that out and to love everybody, regardless of who or what they vote for. Let's have a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you and we just want to say thank you for our children. Thank you for reminding us to not take our election so seriously and so angrily, but to remind us that each of us have different tastes and different persuasions, and that all of us, though, share in the love of God. So as we think about that on Tuesday, help each one of us have the spirit of a child, the flexibility of their heart, and know that each of us, no matter where we stand on these issues, will be loved by God at the end of the day. And that is the most important thing. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I would like to invite Missy and Chloe, who are going to come up and help me in our sermon skit that we're going to do for you. Before we get into that, I just want to share with you, as this Sunday, we tried to be a little bit more creative in how we were going to do our message this week. And one of the things I wanted to look at as I was thinking about sharing a sermon on Election Day, the one thing I didn't want to do is give you any advice about who to vote for or tell you who to vote for, because any pastor who does that usually is out of a job on Monday. But what I do want you to do is take a serious look at how you are approaching this Election Day, regardless of who you are voting for. How are you caring for people? As a student of history, I worry a great deal about the anger and the animosity that exists in our country right now, and the path that that could lead us on into the future for our children and for our children's children. So what I did is I wrote a little sermon skit that's hopefully a little funny, but also very serious look at how we look at the future of our world, and to remind us that we have the ability to impact change in small and serious ways. So I will turn it over now to our narrator, Missy, who is nice enough to lead this. This is taking place in the year 2100.
Our story today takes place in the year 2100. Some things are very different. Drones deliver packages to fulfill Amazon orders in 1 hour. Cars have been replaced by bullet trains for a much faster and environmentally friendly means of transportation. The average life expectancy has grown from 78 to 95. As modern medicine continues to improve. Some things have stayed the same. McDonald's and Starbucks can be found in every city. People still struggle to make sure technology does not dominate their lives. The Cleveland Browns still think this year will be their year. Spoiler alert, it will not. Our story today focuses on a high school senior named Penny Harper, who has been asked to do a report on the American Civil War of 2050. She has brought in her grandfather, Keegan Harper, who was a lieutenant in the United States Army during the Civil War. She is going to interview him for her class.
Hi, class. This is my grandfather, Keegan Harper. He was a lieutenant in the United States Army during all the 3 years of the Second Civil War. Grandpa, how old are you?
Thanks for inviting me today, Penny. It's a privilege to be in front of your class. And I can tell you, I'm old enough to remember just how shocked my parents and grandparents were when Justin Bieber and Miley Cyrus ticket won the presidency of 2036 by a landslide. I can tell you, nobody saw that one coming.
Wow, Grandpa, you are pretty old. So what was it like to fight in the Second Civil War? I bet it was pretty cool.
You think it was cool? Penny, those were the worst 3 years of my life. I just thank God I made it out of that war alive. Many of my friends and family members were not so lucky.
But the movies we see on TV make it look so cool. Soldiers kick butt and become heroes on the battlefield. That is why you're my hero, Grandpa.
The only people who are crazy enough to worship battlefields are the lucky fools who have never had to walk upon them. A real hero would have done everything to stop that terrible war before it started.
How did the war get started in the first place? Wasn't it when shots were fired in Washington, D.C. between Democrats and Republicans after the contested election of 2048?
Penny, my dear, you are talking about the straw that broke the camel's back. Thousands of smaller moments led to that climax. Animosity and disgust boiled over for years. Democrats and Republicans hated one another.
Hasn't that always been the case? I mean, they are two very different political parties. They aren't supposed to get along.
Yeah, the thing is, this was different, Penny. We used to disagree with one another over our ideals, but we could still eat with one another. We could still pray with one another and send our kids to the same school. Hatred consumed our souls. Democrats and Republicans literally believed the country would be a far better place if those with opposing viewpoints never existed.
How did that impact your day-to-day life, Grandpa?
Well, let me give you an example, Penny. My best friend growing up was Billy Hall. We would throw the football together, play video games together, and do all the things that make a first friendship really special. Then one day, our parents got into an argument in the driveway over politics. All I remember is that our families had different colored yard signs. Billy and I were told that we couldn't play together anymore, and I lost my best friend that day.
When was the last time you saw Billy?
We were 19 and on opposing sides of the battlefield. We should have been in the backyard throwing the football together, enjoying our first semester of college. But the seeds of our parents' hatred were harvested on the battlefield that day.
What about the ideals your side fought for? Aren't you proud of those?
Here's the thing. If both sides refuse to embrace the humanity of the other side, then both sides lose. By 2020, the only thing Republicans and Democrats cared about was winning. No one cared if their candidate had integrity or had the interest of the people at heart. It was all about making sure the other side lost. Ideals suffered and corruption prospered. The worse the candidates got, the more fiercely we fought to get them elected.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It truly was. As Christians, we should have been ashamed about what happened. Our egos became greater than our willingness to love our neighbor. We forgot the greatest commandment, to love God with all our heart, our minds, and all our souls, and to love our neighbors as ourselves.
I didn't realize there was a spiritual component to it, too. Do you think spiritual issues factored in the start of the Civil War?
I think we often forget there's a spiritual component to everything we do, including our politics. If we preach the love of God on Sunday morning but spew political venom all week, we become the hypocrites that Jesus warned us about.
Grandpa, you have made a pretty convincing argument to our class about the dangers of the Second Civil War. What advice would you give to our generation hoping to avoid needless bloodshed in the future?
Be humble in your ideals. Care more about nurturing and growing relationships and less about winning arguments. God honestly doesn't care which side you vote for, but God will invest deeply in examining how you treated those who voted differently than you.
Thanks, Grandpa. That is all the time we have today. I hope our generation takes your words to heart. I'd hate to see us repeat the mistakes of the past and choose violence over peace and self-righteousness over community. May we build a better world for us and for the generations that will follow us.
Amen, Penny. I couldn't have said it better myself. I pray that your generation will make the necessary changes to avoid the mistakes of our past. May peace and compassion be the legacy of your generation, and not hatred and violence. May God bless this righteous path of peacemakers. Amen. Let's give Penny and our narrator a big round of applause. And I just ask you to carry that truth with you, that one day you will account for yourself, and God's not going to ask you which side of the ballot box you pick, but he will be asking how you treated people who think and pray and act differently than you. And each of us have to be accountable for that, because especially on Reformation Sunday, we need to remember that we as Moravians have always strived to be peacemakers, to build bridges instead of building enemy. And may we always remember our true calling to serve God and take that opportunity. And remember that no matter who we are voting for is not as important as who we are voting for with our hearts. And that is always Christ. And we always know that Jesus will provide and care for us. And we can hold that truth to be self-evident in all times and all places. Let us have a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you today, and I just want to say thank you for the people gathered here. Help each one of us to be grateful for that, because many of us who are gathered here to pray and worship Jesus come from different perspectives and different backgrounds. And I, for one, am grateful for that, because I need both sides to be able to understand to appreciate all of creation and all that you have given us. So help each one of us be humble in how we approach this election day, to be compassionate both to the people we support and to those we disagree with. And to help us to remember that no matter what happens, it's already in your hands. You are taking care of this world. The results of any election will not change the impact that God has on this world. So we can rest easy knowing that God has got it, and we can trust as his disciples and his children that we are lucky to be surrounded by such a faithful and loving God. In his blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. For our final hymn, we will hear from Missy, Chloe, and Paige as they share for us a beautiful rendition of 10,000 times 10,000. Great truth for us to carry with us this All Saints Day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to thank all of you who've joined us in person and those of you that have joined us online. Now we'll enter a time of dismissal for those who are here. But thank you once again for being a part of this worship experience. Swallow family, go ahead. Caster family, go ahead. Tim and Linda, go ahead. Floyd and Delene, go ahead. McKenna and Becky, go ahead. Randy, go ahead. Martin family, go ahead. Archer Miller families, go ahead.
Glass shatters on all these things. We gotta have trust in it.